And we're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, it is truly appreciated. Is it safe to come back out yet from last weekend? I'm not quite sure because it was a war zone last weekend here at the Lakers Fast Break at Lakerholics Roundtable, but I'll see if I can go ahead and come right back at you here. It's Gerald Glassford, Lakers Fast Break, but I've got on. See, there you go. Oh, got to watch out for Laker Tom. He's going to be throwing more zingers at us, but he's in a better mood today because the Lakers look like, from all appearances, that they've made a great acquisition earlier today as we're speaking. So we're going to talk about that coming up in a sec. Who do the Lakers get? You'll find out. Plus, we're going to be talking about more rumor mills because we're going to take a trip down the rumor mill. Plus, we're also going to be talking about a lot of other great things as well, including should we have a crowd at the Staples Center or not? We're going to talk about that coming up. And also, who will or will not pick up their option for the Lakers Fast Break as well. But guys, it is Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder is the actual, hopefully, newest Laker, and in what is the first transaction, just before the trades really get underway. Sources say, and if Shams and Adrian Wojnarowski are already reporting it, must be true, that the Lakers we'll be going ahead and sending Danny Green to Oklahoma City and the number 28 draft choice that they have to draft first. It's so funny because according to the Stepien rule, you can't actually trade all your first round picks, but you can go ahead and draft someone, then trade them 5 seconds later after you draft them. Oh, that's really good. So that's what they're going to be doing right now, I guess, according to all sources, is that Danny Green and the first round draft pick in this year's draft, number 28, will be going to Oklahoma City for Dennis Schroeder. And here today to talk about that and so much more. First off, I'm going to go ahead and hit him up. He is the magic man for Lakerholics.com. Be part of the conversation today at Lakerholics.com. It is Sean Grice. And Sean, your thoughts on the trade for, we're still trying to figure out how best to say his last name, but I'm going to say Dennis Schroeder.
I'm going to say Schroeder as well, Gerald. I love the pickup. I love this trade for us. I realize we're substituting some size defensively, but what we're picking up is one of the most versatile offensive talents off the bench the NBA's seen in the last 5 years. Whether he's been in Atlanta, OKC, back to Atlanta, back to OKC, he's always been a threat. Be the sixth man of the year. He's improved exponentially since he first got into the league. He has a three-point shot now. And one thing that Tom will love about Schroeder is his ability for the lob pass. A large percentage of assists come off the lob pass, whether it's in transition or in half-court offenses. He really found some chemistry with one Steven Adams, and I think he can replicate that with AD and JaVale McGee, who I believe will pick up his player option.
Well, we'll see about that as far as it's concerned. That's coming up for the option portion of the program. But I wanted to ask you this. Jamie Sweet, who's going to be giving us 5 great things on why, well, maybe not here now, but 5 great things I see coming up, and Dennis Schroeder will be a part of it. I want to give you this rundown real quick, Jamie Sweet and everybody out there. His last year in Oklahoma City, 19 points a game, 51% from as far as his overall field goal percentage, including almost 39% from three-point area. Really good numbers, really solid numbers. Best year of his career was, I think, second or third in the running for sixth man of the year. Played a very, very integral role as far as the three-guard offense in Oklahoma City. Again, size will still be a little bit of an issue, so you're concerned about that as far as in the playoffs, but as a playmaker, as a scorer, consistently and as someone who has a respected outside shot, this definitely is a bonus for the Lakers.
I think it's a huge pickup. I think it's one of the, you know, it's funny because they're both on expiring deals. So you're basically swapping one for the other plus a pick, whoever that ends up being at 28, which you can make the argument that Danny Green had such a not really visible impact on the playoff, but statistically he had a huge impact on our NBA Finals run. He was he was on the floor, we generally played well. Whether he shot well or, you know, missed wide open threes or not, notwithstanding, and the periphery that went with all that. But I have always been a big fan of Dennis Schroeder. I kind of feel like he's if you put Danny Green and Rondo in the same body, like he's a little bit better of a shooter than Rondo, not quite the passer that Rondo is. He's a little quicker than Green is. And
he's quicker than Rondo.
I think he's quicker than Rondo at this point. Rondo used to be so quick. He's lost a step, but
age is the difference there.
Totally, totally. Like, you're getting the younger, better version of Rondo who already shoots better than Rondo probably ever will. I mean, I will give Rajon a lot of credit for really getting that wide open catch and shoot three down, which he hit very well for us, and I hope that he continues to hit well for the future of his playing career, save when he's playing against us, should he not return to the Lakers. I don't necessarily see this as taking away from Rondo's ability to return. It's a great trade in that you're swapping youth. You're going to get his bird rights next year, so that should you need to go over the cap to re-sign him along with making a big trade, or if he plays so well that you can sign and trade him to have like a key piece for another team, say Milwaukee, moving forward, which will definitely need point guard help going forward. They're a point guard mess over there. I'm amazed that they're not interested in Chris Paul for some reason. It must be that OKC must look at the contracts they're trying to trade and be like, we don't want Eric Bledsoe. We don't want, you know, we don't want all these guys. So nobody wants this cap situation, including Milwaukee. Well, so
I'm surprised that they want another first round pick, because as Adrian Wojnarowski described it, I think 16 first round draft picks for Oklahoma City before 2027. That's a mind boggling number. That's more than an entire team of first round draft picks. That's crazy.
No, it's ridiculous. Well, they're going to have to give some of those away to get rid of Chris Paul. Like, that's what it's going to take. Somebody's going to have to get like 5 first round draft picks to also take Chris Paul. Like, yeah, exactly.
Laker Tom, you take a first round draft pick. Jamie Sweet, you take a first round draft pick. Magic Man, you take a first round draft pick. Everyone have a first round draft pick.
They're going to make it rain Oprah style, man. That's how you're going to get rid of him. You're not going to get rid of him. His contract is it's over a third of the salary cap.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one guy sucks up a third of your cap. Like, at his age, like, who needs that? And the same thing's going to happen with Russell Westbrook, except it'll be even more untradeable on down the line. You know, somebody else is going to have to shut. That's the other thing. Maybe they're looking at one of the two. Like, they're going to have to get rid of somebody. You know, well, Russell's on Houston now. But point being is, I think that they're going to probably attach like 4 or 5 first round draft picks in various stages of the round to get rid of Chris Paul. That's my.
Even though Chris Paul has 2 years left on his contract, it's going to be easier to unload him because of all those first-round draft picks than Houston going to be trying to unload Russell Westbrook. Although I have a feeling both will be on the move. I just have a feeling both will be on the move.
I could see a Westbrook for Bledsoe and like another couple of guys to make the salaries work, send him, which would be devastating in terms of transition, but terrible in terms of half court for Milwaukee. But Westbrook's going somewhere. I don't see how they can run that back out again. I think they might both be going somewhere. It's just everybody's going to want Harden, and I don't know who wants. It's hard to find. You'd have to find a team with like a great three-point shooters and no point guard, which I don't know if that exists.
Laker Tom is here as well. He's the mastermind behind LakerHolics.com. Be part of the conversation at LakerHolics.com. Laker Tom, also check out all the great things that you're writing about on Medium.com and your very much traveled articles that you have there. I want to hear your thoughts on the Dennis Schroeder trade. I know you were smiling, not because you're back here, and I'm going to try to avoid the war zone today. I think we're all in agreement that this was a very good move for the team. It does leave some small issues you have to go ahead and clear up. But again, it is a step in the right direction. We need a playmaker. We need someone who during the season can get you buckets. We need someone a little bit more consistent with it coming off the bench or possibly even starting that could go ahead and contribute on a regular basis. I think we just might have found that individual.
Schroeder's an interesting case because he's really had almost a career year at Oklahoma City. A couple of the things that just weren't covered by the other guys is Schroeder's defensive rating was 103. Were he on the Lakers last year, that would be the second best defensive rating on the team, second to Alex Caruso's 101. So he's an outstanding defender. He fights through screens. In a lot of ways, he reminds me a lot of Avery Bradley, that he's going to be able to be that aggressive on-the-ball guy. He's got a little bit of nasty in his attitude, too. You know, he's not a guy you push around. And so he's a real fighter, and I think we're going to see him start. I mean, Woj had a comment in his article on ESPN that Schroeder's been pushing hard to start as one of the things he was not happy with in Oklahoma City, and supposedly the Lakers have promised him an opportunity to start. And if they're looking to re-sign him on a long-term contract, which is also confirmed by Woj, then starting is a big part of that whole situation. So I think he's going to replace Avery Bradley as a starting point guard. There's a lot of talk that the Lakers have already been talking to Wesley Matthews, who had signed a one-year minimum contract with Milwaukee, started every game. He's been an excellent defender. His defensive rating was like 98.6, the second best on that team behind Giannis. So he's a couple of inches shorter than Danny is, but he seems quicker from the times I've seen him.
A little he's old. Still he's still in his mid-30s, though. Let's put that in
perspective. Well, he's 33, I think, and Danny's 34.
And he did have the Achilles injury. Younger. He did have the Achilles injury, so to let you know that. Yeah.
But I think that he's the guy that they have in mind because he can guard the bigger guards.
But he can hit
that's
three.
That's one of the problems that Dennis has. Dennis is not going to be a guy. They're going to hunt him and switch him off. Yeah. He's not Lou Williams, who just is a no show on defense. So he's going to be pretty good defensively. But he leaves a couple of moves that we have to make. One of them is to replace Danny Green.
Yeah.
Hopefully Matthews will be that person. And it seems like the Lakers, if Rob is doing the same thing with Matthews that he did in this situation, he's already got him lined up. And then the other move down the road, obviously, is the center position, which we'll get into later. But I like the move a lot. I think there's a couple of things that are also special about Schroeder and how he fits on the Lakers. One thing is that he is a finisher. He can shoot a mid-range off the pick and roll. He can finish to the rim with a floater, and he can get to the rim. He's in the 80th, 90th percentile on everything going to the basket because of his quickness. Those quick drives that you saw Rondo do in the playoffs are exactly the bread and butter. He drives to the – he shores a third of his baskets driving to the rim. The Lakers are dead last in the league in drives to the rim. I mean, that seems amazing when you count the number of times that we dunk the ball and so forth with LeBron going down there and so forth. But we basically are an outside shooting or a low post team. We don't really have a lot of drives, and most of the drives that we make are drives to set up shooters. They're driving dishes. So we're going to get a lot more. He reminds me of what we were hoping Deion Waiters would be, you know, a guy who could get to the basket and really punish people by getting in there and beating them off of the dribble. The big benefit is that Dennis, you have to guard him close, which opens up his quickness because he's turned into an excellent shooter. There was a great video. He's also, like KCP, a client of Lethal Shooter. There's a great video that I posted on LakerHolics.com showing Lethal Shooter working out with Dennis, and he's actually got a little bit more of a jump. He used to shoot just a total set shot, and he's leaving his feet a little bit now on that jump shot just to get a little more power from the legs on it. So hopefully, you know, you're gambling, but here's a 27-year-old guy. He's in the same championship window as 26-year-old Anthony Davis, as you know, it's a perfect fit with a young Caruso and a young KCP. I agree with Jamie that I don't think it detracts from Rondo coming back. Rondo wasn't going to be the starter, and I think Schroeder is going to be the starter. But what it does is it takes away some leverage that Rondo has with other teams, because he's trying to get the non-taxpayer $9.3 million MLE, and most teams are going to only be able to offer him the 5.6 taxpayer MLE. So there's a little leverage there. The big concern probably is the two or three-year contract. Rondo and KCP both want a long-term deal. And that's what the Lakers are probably not going to give them. So, but the other hand, if we lose Bradley, we lose Rondo, we lose KCP. KCP, because he's a clutch client, I think if we lose him, there's a good chance that we may be able to turn that into a sign and trade. Because see, they don't want to hurt LeBron's situation by letting KCP go all alone without getting any compensation. So I think there's a good opportunity there that we might. I posted a couple of trades. One was a wild wish trade for Christian Wood, which probably ain't going to happen. Or Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard would be an interesting swap. 40%, 3 years of 40% three-point shooting, 90% free throw shooter. There's a lot there to like in either one of those situations. But I think that's the real wild card that comes from this deal, which is Kyle Kuzma is still a Laker.
That's the huge part of this.
Rob was able to get that deal done without giving up his number one trading chip.
Absolutely. So that's a good thing right there. Yes.
And that trading chip is going to get traded, because next year he will be a restricted free agent. The last thing we want to do is to lose him for nothing.
Exactly.
Everybody has money next year.
Every
team is going to have cap space.
And he'll want it to make it rain, of course.
We'll get traded now, or we'll get traded at the trade deadline.
I think the deadline.
Well,
we know you've been saying that for the deadline for everything.
It makes the most sense, because you're going to
funny season with only 72 games. When is the deadline? We don't even know yet.
It's going to be 2/3 of the way through the season, like it always is.
Well, not 2/3 of the way. It's about 1/3 of the way through.
About 60%, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get traded. He'll get traded before our next show.
Maybe.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I see the potential for basically like another Netflix kind of paradigm shift, where here comes this other major player. They have a ton of resources. Apple could change the way that entertainment is consumed.
They say it's the only time this year that you'll have stars from each brand battling each other. And we know it's not going to be the case, but they like to say that, and more power to them, I guess.
Well, it's a big first step, bringing all those superheroes together. There were definitely some parts of the movie that I really enjoyed. And then there were some parts that I thought just kind of fell short of expectation.
Part of it has to be something to do with how it's being promoted. And this is a thing where audiences do not agree with critics.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options. You know, you talk about KCP possibly being on the move. If he gets 15 to 17 offered, he's going to probably leave. I'm hoping there would be a sign and trade in place because of it. But we got to remember, there could be another big guard that the Lakers could already have in place that could start alongside Schroeder. If, again, Avery Bradley is moved. Because Avery Bradley, if he's not moved and you have to keep him for some reason, I think he needs to start. He's not going to be any good to you, really, off the bench. Schroeder, unfortunately, you would probably have to sweet talk him, you know, do something behind the scenes, maybe to go ahead and massage his ego to go ahead and maybe come off the bench. But I'm hoping that he'll get the chance to start, and that Avery Bradley will be on the move to get maybe a better opportunity for him, if that's the case, because I think his time spent away from the bubble and the Lakers winning the championship was not in his best interest. I mean, do you agree? Concur with that, Laker Tom? I mean,
I don't know where Avery lives, but I have a feeling that part of his decision is wanting to control where he's going to go. And most likely, it's kind of foolish to think that he would do this without his agent having talked to somebody who's going to offer him a 2 or 3 year contract. Maybe, you know, for even the same amount, because he knows the Lakers aren't going to give anything other than 1 year contracts, probably.
To him, I don't think they would offer more than 1 year, unless it was a very cheap 2 year deal. But right. You know, you do have the emergency in case of break glass in case of emergency type deal in a starter at your big guard, Alex Caruso. So there you go, right there for defensive purposes.
I don't think Caruso is a starter. I'm sorry. I know you. Some of you do, but
he started
I don't
in game seven. I mean, I love those words. I almost see hear Mark Jackson telling me how bad a deal and how bad a move it was making. I hear those ringing in my ears almost every now and then. And then
I don't have any disagreement that Caruso is a valuable player, but he's not a top. He's not going to start for the Lakers.
No, I wouldn't say he's going to get more minutes. I wouldn't say you could put him in as a spot starter or make him a starter and still play him the same amount of minutes, 20, 25 minutes. I think once you, again, it's always said with Alex Caruso.
Lakers need somebody who can guard the wing, bigger wings.
He's 6'5". That's why
they have to get somebody. Yeah, but he's not, his forte is not physically guarding a person like Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is going to shoot over him until
the tell me the people
yeah,
who
but
are.
I mean, you're talking right. You're listing a top five player in the NBA and saying like a guy who guards literally everybody else can't guard like this one guy. So
no, but it's no different. KCP's 6'5" also. KCP's a really good defender.
He can't guard Kawhi Leonard one on one.
A whole bunch of guys that fall into that category. No, there's a whole bunch of guys who fall into that category. Kawhi, of the bigger wings. We don't have somebody to guard them than LeBron and AD.
I agree with you on that, but Kawhi is just a hard matchup for everyone. So you need someone like someone 6'7". JaMychal Green could possibly even as far as, you know, if they look into him trying to see if he's available because he's not going to be out in the open market. But it is going to be hard to find defensive wings. Anywhere in the NBA,
two to guard him because you want LeBron in the game at the three. You need a big two. That was why Danny always started,
and often finished.
Yeah, and often finished.
Despite
you need a big two. That's why they're looking at Matthews.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
200-pound guy who's Matthews has got long arms. He's got a good. He's probably got a much longer reach than his 6'3" height.
I like Matthews as well, but I'm just Sean. I'll get you in just a sec. But I like Matthews as well. It's just I'm worried again. 2 years from 2 years or 3 years now from the Achilles injury, and he is 34. So these are things. And he's going to be a good shooter. Provides you, especially from the wing. I've seen him many times from at Dallas and now Milwaukee do a lot of great things from the 3-point area out on the wing. But Sean, I know you want to talk a little bit about Wesley Matthews. And again, we're all in agreement on Dennis Schröder. Except for how we pronounce his last name. We're all in agreement as far as it being a good move for the Lakers, but go ahead real quick, Sean, your thoughts with Wesley Matthews possibly joining the Lakers as well.
Yeah, outside of the legacy connection, Gerald, it just makes a lot of sense. His father played for the Lakers. I believe he was on 2 championship teams, if I'm not mistaken. He's coming off a pretty good season where he played pretty well. I think an opportunity to get about 20, 25 minutes a night off the bench and have a really good three-point shot might lend him to have, you know, some nibbles next offseason for, you know, put some more in his bank account than he already got. But, I mean, we'll see. I like the deal, actually. I like it. He's a legacy. He's got like Tom said, he's long. So, and he's got the trees back there. I mean, any guy who plays defense on the perimeter that you're selling for Lakers in free agency, look, you got Anthony Davis and LeBron James back there. So as long as you do your job, you're going to look good and we're going to look good. That's the sell right now. And I think Wes Matthews is a nice fit.
I hope he's a nice fit. I mean, I'm just, again, 34 years of age. I'm still kind of, you know, when you get someone in that area, it either works out like PJ Tucker or it doesn't like some others that are in their mid-30s. Does work out like Rajon Rondo during the playoffs, of course, and then it doesn't for others. So it's really kind of a catch-22 on that. But Laker Tom, I want to ask you this. There's going to be other things as far as the shoring up the entire roster is concerned. And we'll talk about where you see a possible trade for Kuzma and THT, if that he's going to be on the move and whatnot. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, either this week or in the coming weeks. But I want to ask you this. Well, if they're not already traded. But I want to ask you this. Some of the rumorville, as far as, or is there any other names that are being tossed out there that you're seeing that could be a fit for the Lakers? Obviously, Chris Paul is no more a no-no. I think that right. deal's gone bye-bye. Thank goodness for that. And I want to hear your thoughts on some maybe possible other names that have been tossed around, because there's been a whole bunch of names being tossed around that could be on the way to the Lakers.
Well, I think the big one, which has been rumored, and it's kind of funny because it's a very similar rumor to almost the Wesley Matthews rumor that the Lakers have interest in, and that's Ibaka. He does everything that the Lakers need, because I think what we saw last year was, we understand that Frank Vogel is a defense first coach and his defensive philosophy starts at the rim. So you need a rim protector. You need somebody who can bang. And let's say you need somebody who can bang enough that they can guard Jokic. You know, you can't have, you know, I mean, AD can guard him and so forth, but you don't want to have that situation. He is the perfect example of why you want a banger that can do it. And then the other thing is that we saw with the combination of Morris and AD as the 4-5, that ability to play five out and to stretch the floor, and how it opened up lanes for LeBron and AD both to attack the basket, and open 3-point shots that we would get. I think Ibaka is the perfect person to go in there. And the rumors are that, you know, that he may be available. He may be interested in joining the Lakers. So he would, you know, I mean, I don't know who Sean was thinking of other than Matthews starting, because I think that that's the obvious starter. Unless KCP came back, then I could see Matthews coming off the bench and Kenny starting. And you just hope that happens, because he's such a valuable player for the Lakers. He was probably their third best player overall when you take the whole season into effect as well as the playoffs.
Well, let me ask you this.
Heroics.
Would you take a trade? Would you be okay if you lost Howard, which is a very real possibility, mm-hmm. and McGee, which I know you would like to be
rather. I take Ibaka and Cousins in a minute.
That's exactly what I was
going to. That's ideally where I want to see us go, because.
Me too.
Two guys who've got bulk to really play the low post game and can stretch the floor so that you can play the five out game.
Yep, that would be ideal.
That just gives us such added flexibility and some really power. That makes the five position really great. That would be my swap, and that's why I've included JaVale in every single trade I've visualized, you know.
It was going to be so funny, because we had such a warring moment and Laker Tom was like all over me if you saw the video from last week. I was going to throw him nothing but softball questions for this week, but you know what? He's done a great job, and we actually were on the same wavelength there. Appreciate it. I was going to ask him questions.
We're on the same wavelength 90% of the time, Gerald.
Yes, well, it's that 10% that kills us.
You just tried to create chaos just for the audience.
Well, Sean, Jamie, I was going to ask him like this softball questions, like, do you like the Lakers, Tom? Make it a little easier this week. But Jamie, I'll ask you this before we hit up Sean next. I want to ask you this. I mean, you hopefully see those signs of how the team is forming, and it all sounds great on paper. We've had this before and gone through this before, but I always worry though when we have too much of a mix of mid-30s, because you never know what you're going to get at that age. Some of them are living off of former reputations. Getting Serge Ibaka, it would be great. The Serge Ibaka that I know. Could he still be the Serge Ibaka that we know in flashes? I'm not expecting it every game out. You know, anybody who is expecting Serge Ibaka at 31. Okay, so he's still good. But anybody who's expecting these mid-30s, like Wesley Matthews, to appear time in, time out at that high level, that's one thing. You want them to show up when it counts the most, but be able to go ahead and provide enough effectiveness during the season. That's what I think I'm counting for.
I think that would be wise. And I think the key adjective you used there was in flashes. Yes. I think that that's going to be, I mean, that's any bench, right? Like that was like frankly, that was the recipe for success for Laker benches of yore, right? Like, we have like these three kind of aged vets who come in and do like Ron Harper. I don't need you to play 25 minutes a game, Ron Harper. I need you to play like 15 great minutes, smart minutes, mistake-free minutes, maybe even hit an open shot minutes. And that's all you're going to ask Ibaka to do. It's all you're going to ask even Cousins to do, frankly, at this point. Like, if they can provide more, if they're better than that, well, that's just gravy. But, you know, if you can get 15, 20 minutes out of guys like that a game, you got AD and LeBron. You got, I mean, all of this is sort of like deciding like what is also going to be on the Thanksgiving dinner table, right? Like, we got our turkey, we got our mashed potatoes, like we got the two main dishes, like they're solid, like they're delicious. There's no walking away. We're talking about the cranberry sauce. We're talking about the stuffing. We're talking, you know what I mean? Like,
don't forget the chocolate cream pie, man. Oh, that's just me.
Well, that's dessert. That's dessert, and that's Banner 18, right?
And tamales. The chocolate cream. Tamales. No.
Hey, man. Hey, as a lifelong vegetarian, I've had lasagna for Thanksgiving. I've had tamales. I've run the gamut. Everything but turkey my whole life. So, but
never?
Not once. I was born and bred a vegetarian. I mean, we can talk about it on a different podcast. Point being, I just think that for guys like that, 20 minutes a game at best, and I think that exactly what Laker Tom said, like one of the keys to our ability to have great success, both in the playoffs, NBA finals, and throughout the regular season, although the lineup was a little more static during the regular season, was our ability to adapt to the matchup. Our ability to adapt to the matchup was elite in the playoffs. It was obviously the best because we won. But I mean, on top of that, you could argue that the way that Frank Vogel could take a player out and completely change the tenor of the defense, and I'm not even talking about how we score, just the way that we can disrupt the other team's offense, was just such a huge key in us having the success that we did in the playoffs. So adding guys like Cousins and Ibaka further adds to that. Now, if McGee opts in, that's kind of a weird scenario. I feel like you don't need McGee, Cousins, and Ibaka, and I'm not sure which one would be the odd man out, because I don't know how true the rumors are of the handshake agreement with Cousins. I would imagine it's in place because he's just been around the team for forever at this point. And either he's like moving into El Segundo and just gonna have a little apartment there. And
I'm here. Right,
hey guys.
Hi, Rob.
Right, how you guys doing? You guys need anything?
Where's I'm going to get some
coffee. Like, I'm not sure. Yeah, exactly. But you know, I'm not sure like what that would entail. And I will say this, there is still the potentiality for a KCP and McGee and Bradley mega sign and trade. Somebody could really be into KCP, and we could throw a, you know, we could make the money work. And I think the McGee Bradley salary combo is about 12 million, just under 12 million, I think. So I know that the Chris Paul rumor mill won't die down until he's somewhere else. And with the potentiality to sign and trade KCP, it's kind of still alive and well. Why OKC would want to do that, I can't say. But it's there. The possibility is there.
I think it's been from rumblings from him, Dennis Schroeder. I think that's probably the reason why he's out. And you know what, to the Lakers' benefit, that they've got him. And I just,
yeah.
There. But Sean, I want to hit you up with this, my friend. It's time for the option game. So who will take their option coming up? And we're going to start you with a tough one. Avery Bradley. So will Avery Bradley take his option or decline?
Since it's been confirmed that he's changed representation, I'd like to change my answer from a couple weeks ago, Gerald, and say he will now decline his option and enter unrestricted free agency.
I have a tendency to agree, because maybe if he goes, let's say he gets a 2-year deal, maybe for like $10 million or $11 million, $12 million, as opposed to what he's getting now, 1-year $5 million. Maybe it works out. The math works out better for him. Maybe a 2-year $9 million or something like that. Just something where he has a little bit more stability going forward than what he has now. That might be the case.
He lives in Austin.
I think so.
He still lives.
Yeah,
in Austin?
I think so.
I believe so.
I think
Mavs.
I think the Mavs are more locked in on Goran Dragic and Fred VanVleet right now. That's who they want to put beside Luka.
Well, you could trade Seth Curry to the Lakers. We'll take 43% three-point.
Luca would kill. Luca would kill.
Go ahead, Ben.
I was going to say, if you look at a situation like Atlanta, for example, so we're talking about KCP or Avery Bradley opting into free agency and looking at a team like that, do they really make the difference for a team like that to make the playoffs? If you added KCP to the Hawks, are they a playoff team?
No, not necessarily.
I don't know.
I think they would need one more player.
Not necessarily. But, right. And I think it's less obvious for KCP and Avery Bradley to end up with a contender for just one reason. All those contenders want to create as much cap space as they can for Giannis. So any contending team that signed
Atlanta's going to go after him.
Put options.
Yeah.
They're gonna throw so, Tom.
It's going to make it rain for KCP, so he's going to be happy.
Yeah, it's got to be a team that has a lot of cap space because it's not a team that's looking for one piece, like Sean says. It's a team that's got enough money to buy two or three pieces. And also, too, the rumors are that OKC is going to flip Danny Green right away anyway.
Or let it go to the trade deadline. Contender,
you know? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the Clippers or the Bucks. So it's an interesting situation, but I think it's the multi-year thing. And I wouldn't be surprised, too, if it's also the ability to choose where you go, you know, rather than just get traded wherever the Lakers want to send you.
Well, in Danny Green's case, if he doesn't get traded, he'll be bought out by the end of the season. So he'll go somewhere to a contender by the end of the
season. Right. Yep. And we cannot re-sign him.
Yes.
That's one of the rules.
I don't think you'll be waiting in anticipation after your love affair with Danny Green.
Danny, I've always said that you look at the net ratings and you look at the plus minuses, Danny Green is up there every time among the top two or three players on the Lakers for the little things that he does.
Yep.
And so in a way, I was kind of surprised because I thought that the only reason in my mind that Oklahoma City would make the trade was a veteran mentor for all of the young players they've got. There can't be somebody who's better than that from a team standpoint than Danny Green because he's doing all of those small things. And you want to lead by example. That's exactly what you want to teach all of the young players on a team to do. Every pick counts. Every pick counts. Every defensive positioning counts. Being in the right place counts. All of those little things that really add up into the plus minus and net ratings that make a player a good teammate.
Well, he knew he was going. After all those podcasts he was on in the past, 2-3 weeks, and he was on making all those appearances, he knew he was gone. He had a feeling he would be trade fodder. And
thought he'd be along with Kyle.
Yeah, well, I want to say thank you for everything that he brought to the team for the year.
I agree.
Yes, I know it was a very hard thing to go through, especially the fact that he didn't go ahead and have
three-time champion, man.
Yeah, three-time champion.
There's got to be some reason why he's a three-time champion.
And absolutely, he played effectively on defense at times. Obviously, blocking some shots, good rebounder, but unfortunately, didn't make that shot, which a lot of people are going to stick that sticks out in their head is that shot.
Whatever.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
Whatever.
Yeah, I was just going to add a little footnote onto Danny Green's Laker career, Gerald. It comes full circle. He started out in the G League in Cleveland. LeBron was begging the Cavs front office to bring this guy up. I think he's a really good player, and they just...
They waived him.
Let him go.
Yeah.
They waived him. And that really bothered the hell out of LeBron. And so for Danny Green to come full circle now and win a championship with them, I thought it was great enough.
Agreed.
Next on our list, I'll go with Laker Tom. Laker Tom, a favorite of yours during the course of the season, that would be JaVale McGee. So does he opt in or does he opt out?
I think if he's going to exercise his player option and get traded.
Okay.
Along with Kyle Kuzma.
I think he's going to exercise. And again, it's not financially responsible if he doesn't take that contract that's offered to him now. He is not going to get anything near it. He's just going to be offered the minimum everywhere you go. So I think it's in his best financial interest to go ahead and do so. Go ahead, Sean.
The only reason I could see him opting out would be just to control where he goes, because I think he's got to realize And I think most of these guys have to make a decision on Thursday. At least that's what I read, that most of those player option decisions are going to be this Thursday. I mean, talk about a fast week.
Yeah, 18th is the draft. 19th they decide. 20th is the free agency.
That $4.2 million is – the Lakers are not going to keep that on the books.
I mean, they are not going to be able to get rid of Luol Deng's contract, so they're going to have to.
Doesn't seem like.
No, I haven't heard anything on the Luol Deng thing. That's a long shot as it is. I mean, you know, even there's two guys that are now on the trade block, if you will. It's Cook with his $1 million guaranteed, or else they'll waive him. They'll waive him for down to $333,000. And there's McGee, who I think could even be in the same situation because. He's got $4.2 million, and if he opts in, he's going to be traded along with Kuzma. You know, I think it's inevitable. Kuzma's a restricted free agent next year. We could lose him for nothing. So it's foolish to think. I mean, Jamie might be right that they might wait until the trade deadline, but they're not going to wait till next year.
John?
No. Would you trade Kuzma, JaVale McGee if he opts in, and THD for Norm Powell? Because the Raptors would make that trade in a second.
No, I wouldn't trade I wouldn't trade THD.
What did Norm shoot on threes?
He was a little sketchy, but he was in the high 30s.
I like his defense.
I would trade THD. I am not as high on THD.
I don't want to trade THD at this point in time.
I do.
And remember, when you're trading for Norm Powell, you're also getting playoff Norm. Norm comes up big in the playoffs.
I'd have to look at his stats because I haven't really considered that one, Sean. I do like the fact that all of a sudden we might have three or four players who are also the same age as and have the same championship window that AD does. And I think that's important. You need that blend. On the other hand, when it comes down to a decision for a particular year, there's no doubt that the Lakers are in a win now mode, and there's no doubt that they don't hesitate on veterans. You know, they've seen what they got from a lot of these veterans, but there's also, you know, you got to bring back guys like Morris. You know, I mean, I think he's so critical. He also has the third best defensive rating on the team. Markieff Morris did, and even though he didn't shoot as well as he should have based upon his regular season history, he did well in the playoffs, and he was really an important clog to allow AD. He's the guy who gave us, you know, 48 minutes of being able to play small ball against Miami, and we're going to see a lot of that, a lot more teams playing that way as we move forward.
One thing about, you guys have a fascination with THD. I don't see it. I don't think he's going to develop the way you guys think he is, because I think it's still a matter of the shot being it will dictate exactly how effective he can be off the ball going
ahead
and
driving PhD.
What did he play? One game against Houston? Come on.
Two whole games.
So I'm discredited his whole game that I forgot that he wasn't in it. That was the one that was one of the blowouts, I would imagine.
Remember, he's a clutch client.
That's so overrated. Well, THD. THD for a second round draft pick from last year, who's still not playing any consistent minutes. The Lakers are in a win now mode. You said it. The Lakers are in a win now mode, and they can't wait for an 18-year-old to develop, or now a 19-year-old to develop. You got to go ahead if you want to win now. LeBron's window's
now. He's got to break his way into the lineup. Yeah. Or he will get traded at some point.
Yeah, I mean, do you think THD could actually play effective minutes now? I don't.
Yeah.
No. Yes.
No, I don't
let's go back to what we talked about last week, which is a good point that you were really pushing hard, which is that this is a 72-game season. There's going to be a lot of load management. And this is the perfect time for a kid like THT to get minutes. And I think what they were doing in the playoffs was giving him a shot in what they felt were good situations where he could really contribute in, and the kid came through. He impressed a lot of people.
Or showcase him.
Or showcase him. I will say this.
You don't showcase him for two games thinking you're going to get anything out of that. That was a test to see if the kid could handle the pressure, and he handled it beautifully.
I think that the Lakers are going to need to balance the win now with the reality that in the modern NBA, you need cost-controlled, impactful players, players on their rookie-scale deals. That this is what they've done with Kuzma, and I could imagine them following the similar pattern with THT, and that, you know, is he going to have the breakout rookie season that Kuzma had? Of course not. He didn't. It's never going to happen. But does that mean he's not going to be a player of similar impact than a Kyle Kuzma was, but without the hype? I could see that happening. My ceiling for him is Kuzma-esque, like, but not year one, like this year, where he's going to be a little bit better of a playmaker, a little bit better of a defender coming out of the box, and that shot will develop or it won't develop. But those other two things you're never going to be able to take away. You're never going to take away he can have an impact on the defensive end, and I think that he does.
Arms, really off
and he's,
the ball.
And he's pretty good. He's sneaky quick too. He's not like Danny Green slow. He's a little quicker than that. So I think that, like, with those two things in our defensive system and the fact that he's on his rookie deal, second round draft pick, he costs almost nothing. The Lakers are going to need guys like that going forward, especially like we were talking about last week, and I couldn't agree more on, it's going to be a short season. We don't even know how many back-to-backs are going to be, or potentially if there's going to be back-to-back-to-backs in like a specific location, like, oh, we're playing in Denver for 3 nights, we're playing 3 games. LeBron ain't going to play no 3 games in a row. He might not even play in any back-to-backs all season long. You know what I mean? So you're going to want, and whether that's a guy like THT or Kuzma, to up his value so that it looks like we can maybe trade him for something a little more impactful than I feel like we can now come the deadline. But
so Schroeder is going to be really important.
Agreed, totally.
Those young legs like that, man, what you need to carry you.
Right, and that's, even if Rondo comes back, I could see the same scenario where he doesn't play in back-to-backs, or if there are, I don't think there will be back-to-back-to-backs unless there are a lot of travel issues.
Or makeup games because of COVID.
Also true. Great point.
I wonder who suggested that last week.
Who did? I don't know.
All of us. But we were yelling about Jared Dudley so much that nobody heard anything.
That's 15th man, according to Tom.
Jared Dudley had the best 3-point percentage and the second best net rating of any players on the Lakers who played 40 games.
You know what, man? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to answer your word with somebody who you now are infatuated, that I alerted you to is the best 15th man, and that is Christian Wood. Because he started out,
he wasn't
beating
the
15th out.
Man,
no. Well, no, he started out. He beat Joe Johnson in training camp to get the last spot for Detroit Pistons.
He immediately proved he wasn't a 15th man.
Well, technically, he started the season as that. So we're just going to go ahead and say, you know what? Christian Wood's my answer.
You like to interpret things your way, Gerald. That doesn't necessarily mean they're correct.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, there you go. Indeed. But Sean, I know you had something real quick to say. I want to go ahead and touch on that right now. And then right after, Jamie, I want you to go ahead and talk here real quick. We'll go ahead and turn it to you when it comes to concerns the crowd size and all that. But go ahead, Sean. You had some things before you wanted to go ahead and touch on.
Right, Gerald. Yeah, I just wanted to add something here. I realize that the Lakers are in a win-now mode. However, there are a number of young players who have developed under the system in the G League. And there are players who have been drafted by us and have been cultivated by us. And they are Alex Caruso. Look, KCP wasn't fully cooked when he left Detroit. He's been here for 3 years. I think he's fit into the culture. And he's found a way to adapt into the Lakers system. I just think if you're losing him and you're going to trade Kuzma away, then you absolutely have to find a way somehow to extend Alex Caruso. We can't just sit by and watch all these young guys walk out the door again. I mean, Mo Wagner is a rotational player. Svi Zmolik is a rotational player.
I love Svi.
Jordan Clarkson is a rotational player. I mean, Rob finds guys who are rotational players. We need to find a way to keep one.
Rob wasn't Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson was.
I'm just saying with other players. Alex V.
Yeah, I know.
Like, finds
the Washington Wizards are the Lakers East, and so are the New Orleans Pelicans. But I understand. And Svi Mihailuk, I really was sad to see him moved, and I think he's getting the opportunity in Detroit, and we'll get so this year if he's not traded. We'll get a great opportunity to showcase his wares. I still remember the year that they drafted him and Jay Bilas, all he could say, well, his arms are short. Well, he's playing in the league now, and he's getting a good return on his short arms, shooting very well from three-point area and actually contributing. Although it's not to a winning team, I hope he does get a chance to go ahead and prove his worth and maybe prove Jay Bilas a little wrong at the same time. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the world champion, Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. But you're right, we won't be talking about the NBA draft here now. I still hope to do something this week in regards to the NBA draft. Look out for that. In fact, I will also have a live interview, if you're listening to this, with Mike Lenoir, NBA draft hopeful, that we'll have on the air that I'm going to also air this week. But Jamie, before we head on out, one of the things I also want to ask you is this. You mentioned to me about how the Lakers, and this is something I posted about last week on LakerHolics.com when the announcement first came out, that the Lakers will not be having any crowds, not even Jack Nicholson. Well, actually, you know what? Jack may have his own seat and everybody else is gone. But Jack, there still will be no crowds for the Lakers games at Staples Center this year. I think that would also probably include the Clippers as well. I'm assuming if you're going to have one, maybe the other. Maybe, I don't know. It'd kind of be weird if the Clippers had their crowd and the Lakers didn't. But be that as it may, Golden State has announced they're going to have up to 50%. Is that correct?
I mean, that's their plan. That's their hope. That's what they've submitted to the state of California.
That's their new arena.
That's their new arena going, hey, this costs a lot.
Yeah, they built it with their own money, too.
And they're one of the, I believe the LaCoves are partial owners of Chase Center, which is determining factor. I mean, the Lakers have nothing to, they don't own Staples Center. They're just tenants.
Yes.
So you could see a world, actually, where the Clippers decide, hey, man, we need to make some inroads in Los Angeles. We just got railroaded out of the playoffs. We are not on an upswing. We don't have the hype. Steve Ballmer is trying to open his own arena in Inglewood.
Thank goodness they're keeping the forum.
They are keeping the forum, which is great news. I mean, it just makes sense. It makes sense to have like a concert venue there and keep the sporting where they are. That's what Staples has done a pretty good job, unless it's like, you know, huge, huge acts. But anyway, I could see a world where they put their little players up over the banners and make Staples Center their quote-unquote home and have, you know, luxury box and whatever spot attendance is allowed. I actually think it would behoove the NBA to play outside. They've done it before. Obviously, early on, it would be a bit of an issue in some places, but by the time spring rolls around, they should try to play as outside as much as they possibly can.
The NHL does it.
It doesn't make sense to me that they haven't considered it more. I can't wrap my head around that one. It seems
playing in Dodger Stadium.
There's a million places all over the country. Point being is that everybody's going to want more revenue. The players are going to want more revenue. The owners are going to want more revenue. The BRI is only going to go up if fans come into games. I think the Warriors plan is kind of brilliant. I have some friends who have basically turned their homes into concert venues doing this rapid testing thing. They still socially distance people out. There's a lot that they do to make it safe. Mask required, social distance, and it's outside. They don't let people in the house. It's all in like large backyards. One of the benefits of living in certain places in Los Angeles. And so there's definitely a public interest in attending. And I think that it's mainly probably a concern for the players. And if you were to say, look, we're not letting anybody into the lower bowl. There's obviously going to be no courtside seats. And we're spacing everybody out throughout the rest of the arena. I could see a world where the Warriors get this plan approved after this spike dies down. This recent spike that's going to come through in California is going to be an issue. that's going to come through everywhere, but it's hitting California pretty hard. I could see in a world where, you know, things are starting to change, there's more mask mandates. I think it could happen. I think the Lakers may actually end up reversing course on this if the Warriors plan gets through and there's a viable, like, you know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, the bubble was so successful that we got used to the NBA playing with zero COVID cases in a way that we never got used to with baseball and certainly not football. So it'll be interesting to see how that ends up playing out. I think that a lot of teams will change this stance of from now today in 2-3 months on down the line. Once we see if there's a more comprehensive federal government response, if there's some kind of vaccine that's on the horizon, so on and so forth. So I think that was maybe a little preemptive to, you know, jumping the gun a little bit on the Lakers part when they said like no fans. I think that everybody's going to want to see that BRI number tick up as much as humanly possible over the course of the season. And the only way they're going to do that in a meaningful way is to get fans in the stands. So
I like your idea of going outside, although obviously for weather and climate reasons, it can't be done totally throughout, you know, for some teams. Now, obviously, if you know it's going to rain and things of that nature, you got to have plans ahead of time. But I see that would be great if they just go down the street, ironically, to the, let's say, the L.A. Coliseum, per se, which would be right across the street from where the Los Angeles Sports Arena, ironically, where the Clippers once played. How ironic would that be?
It would all be funny.
Yes, it would all be too funny indeed. But Laker Tom, any thoughts on no crowds at the arenas for the Lakers? Looks like some other arenas don't share that same.
You know, one of the things that was put out when the league first put together all of the strenuous protections for the players in the bubble was the quick testing that they were doing. And this is the same testing that basically the Warriors are planning to use. So it's a quick test where basically they can tell right on the spot whether somebody is got coronavirus or not. And supposedly the test works with whether or not you're symptomatic. So if you can do that and bring in crowds and spread them around like that, I think that that's pretty doable because first off, you're not threatening the players. That's one big thing that you've got to address there is that you cannot have contact between the players and the crowds. But if you limit that so that the crowd is taking a risk, and I'm sure there's probably going to be the Donald Trump type of waiver that you put in there that we agree we're taking a risk from coming here. We're not going to sue the Golden State Warriors or Chase Center for if we happen to catch COVID. And I think the thing that's just as interesting is how are the teams going to regulate the players? The players, in one sense, are going to be doing the same as we're doing, or really what I hope all of us are doing, which is you have your immediate household and you're limiting your contacts to the people who are in your immediate household.
I've got four words for you on that. Good luck on that.
Well, you know, listen, I mean, hey, I had a consulting gig last week, and I went down to California City, and they asked me to have lunch with these two guys. I said, I'm not gonna sit there and have lunch with two guys. I don't care what the deal is. I'm not gonna sit there for 35, 40 minutes without a mask with two guys sitting 4 or 5 feet from me.
But you're not.
That's exactly what people are saying, that that's the danger.
But you're asking late teens, early 20 kids to be responsible. And as we have seen over the course of the past 6 months,
to kill their grandmothers and their grandfathers, their fathers and their mothers. And I don't think people realize how dire the situation is going to become and how many people are going to die in the next few months. So
I agree with you.
The NBA cannot avoid, no matter, let's say that you have a team that has got great chemistry like the Lakers, you could expand your household to include all of the other households of the players. And everybody could be very good about protecting themselves and so forth.
And then you got to ask 29 other teams.
Then you go, you play a team that doesn't do the same thing. And one of their players wasn't as careful. One of their families wasn't in care. But you're going to have a few cases no matter what you do, where players are going to get COVID.
That's why I told you in the first place they might expand rosters. That's why I told you in the first place.
Thing about that from anybody.
That's a possibility.
Send me an article to prove that. I don't believe that that's going to happen. It's not in the discussions. If it were in the discussions, it would have been publicized by now. So there's going to be cases where you'll have one or two players or three or four players, maybe even five or six players on a team that can't play. And that's just like injuries. You know, it's just another form of injuries that you're going to have to deal with as you go along.
Well, then you're going to have canceling games if it's five or six players.
You're going to have cancellations of games, of course. You know, I mean, you're going to have cancellation of facilities. You're going to have rescheduling of games and facilities because, you know, a certain team was here and there and they got three people who had COVID, and then another team came in the next day and they had, you know, hopefully the NBA has some experience in testing players, so it won't be like the LA Dodgers who actually win the World Series and then have nine guys test the next morning positive. Because thanks, I think there were a bunch of people there that just didn't care, you know, and the league is going to be better about that. But you can't predict what's going to happen right now because we just don't know where we're going to be in 3 or 4 months.
What happened with that scenario with the what happened with the Dodgers was that the Major League Baseball sent all their tests to a remote lab in Arizona, so they didn't actually get the results back. The positive came back, but it didn't come up the food chain quickly enough until literally.
That's why you need instant testing. You know,
that's why he was pulled out during the game.
Biden could save professional sports. Joe Biden and the new administration could save professional sports.
We'll see. It's going to require the United States Congress. So yeah.
that horse might have already left the barn, my friend. That's a tough task.
You got to believe in Georgia. Bubba's going to save us.
Okay. We'll see.
John, I know you were very patient, so I want to go ahead. You raised your hand in class, so go ahead and tell me what you need, what you want to say about the situation in regards to crowds as far as for NBA.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, Gerald, that I agree with you with those four words. Good luck with that. I think it's going to be very difficult to see a situation where the Lakers or some other team, like James said, doesn't change course. Like, they'll decide, oh, well, we see how good the Warriors have done. We'll adopt some of their model and we'll resubmit it to the council. I'm not sure if that'll go over in LA with their administration. It's a hell of a situation in that state. For example, if I'm just spitballing here, if what Jamie says is true and the Lakers change course, what would stop, say, a company from Disney turning around and saying, hey, wait a minute, I've got a huge park that's just been sitting here empty for almost a year, and I'm losing money, and you're going to allow the Los Angeles Lakers to have 50% capacity? I think it creates a wildfire of problems within that 30-mile zone.
That it does indeed, but we're still going to be updating you here at the Lakers Fast Break going forward as far as the situation is concerned, as far as, you know, attendance for the NBA, how it affects the Lakers, the Staples Centers, and all that. But this will be a constant source of information that hopefully you will find at LakerHolics.com each and every day. Again, great conversations are had. In fact, as my daughter remarked as she saw it, sometimes the conversations in the comments are longer than the articles themselves at LakerHolics.com. So be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com, whether it's Laker Tom, also on his Medium.com site. Jamie Sweet is also there with five great things. Sean Grice, a.k.a. Magic Man, is also there. And for me at the Lakers Fast Break, I just dropped my last and final, my final mock draft, which I might have to change now that the Lakers made a trade. But it is.
Who did you draft for the Oklahoma Thunder?
Well, Malachi Flynn. But anyways, Lakers draft is right there. Lakers Fast Break mock draft 5.0. It's right there on the site, LakerHolics.com. Also, as well, I want to go ahead and mention not only have got coming up this week in regards to NBA draft, and then also as well Got Mike Lenoir coming up for you, and also Chris LeBron coming up as well. I want to go ahead and tell you again, if you didn't get a chance, the Lakers retrospective, the look back at the Lakers part one, some great conversations there. Again, it's one of my finest production efforts, I think, as far as that standpoint. It's a really good episode, so you get a chance, check it out, Lakers Fast Break channel. We also have Lakers Roundtables also there available, including, you know, where Laker Tom gets mad at me a little bit, although it's edited for time and content. And then also another great conversation with Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies, where we talk about the latest news and rumors in the NBA, plus the NBA draft as well, which, you know, these guys didn't want to talk about or said was a moot point at this point. But you know what? It is now for the Lakers for the most part, unless they buy a second round draft choice. So we'll see what happens.
They will do.
They might.
Which we'll see. But again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. If you have any questions for us, at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. We didn't even talk too much about James Harden possibly going to the Nets, but you know what? We'll cover that in the coming days as well. There's so much to talk about in the NBA. Remember, Wednesday is the NBA draft. Thursday, the deadline for people to go ahead and opt in or out. And Friday, oh my gosh, it's the NBA free agency begins. It's not as big or as glamorous as
signing
the previous
on Sunday.
Years.
Signings on Sunday, too.
Yes, so, but it is something that everybody out there for the Lakers that needs to be following them needs to go ahead and continually update. So check out LakerHolics.com for your updates, and I will also be bringing you many updates as well right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.